Good evening, grave robbers, and welcome back to the Television Graveyard. We are your TV necromancers, Laura Prince and Noah Houlihan, and we have come here tonight to examine the spirits of past television shows to find out which ones could be resurrected, should be resurrected, and which ones should just stay doomed. This is a podcast in which we'll analyze the history, the hype, and the aftermath of shows that ran only one season or only one episode. With me, as always, is TV's Noah Houlihan.
This store can suck my farts. So today we have, we found a little buried gem called Super Nerds. And we're gonna review it now. And we're super happy about it. And it's gonna be great. How do you feel?
Don't like it.
I thought you were going to say you just don't feel. Don't feel.
This was called Super Nerds. This was a Comedy Central pilot produced in the year 2000 that did not get picked up.
Yes, this for Comedy Central.
Yes. I think I said a Comedy Central pilot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I love the way this starts. This starts so promising.
Oh, like, we thought we had stumbled upon a gem. It starts with the Star Wars opening crawl. But it's on, like, a thing of, like, printer paper?
Super Nerds. Episode 1. The Dungeon Planet. It is spring of 2000. Our heroes, Gale and Leslie, enjoy the womb-like security of the Dungeon Planet comic book store.
Yeah, like a roll of butcher paper that they've printed it out on.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like this low-rent unscrolling of this paper, which is a great, like, it's a great visual, it is a fun idea, and, like, it's good for a laugh, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to point this out early. There's a live audience reacting to stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, all we get out of them is, like, meh.
Yeah.
Like, they never laugh. So, they do this opening crawl, and they show us this comic book store, which looks like it's in, like, your basic strip mall. Like, I know this comic book store.
Like, yeah, like, I've been to this comic
book store. Yeah, this hole in the wall comic book store.
Yeah, like, I can name, like, six comic book stores that really look like this to me.
And we open on our two protagonists in this arguing over comic books.
Yeah.
Because one character says that this comic that he's reading sucks. And it's like, well, then why are you reading it? And it's like, because I always give everything 4 issues.
Yeah.
And the person who gives it 4 issues is Brian Posehn.
Yeah.
Who is a fantastic comedian. He had a podcast for a while called Nerd Poker, where he played D&D with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a character on the Sarah Silverman program.
Yes.
And the other person, who is a one-issue tool, is Patton Oswalt.
Yes.
Who is Ratatouille. He's Little Chef or Remy in Ratatouille. He's from King of Queens. And he also did the Marvel...
MODOK.
No, the Marvel Star Wars...
Rant.
Rant from Parks and Recreation. He also did MODOK.
Yeah.
But that was the thing I was referencing. So I was like, oh my God, what did we find?
Yeah, this seems like it's going to be amazing. And they set up... these characters are named Gale and Leslie and were bullied a lot as children... And essentially have trauma bonded over that.
Yes. And they're like, did you get the tickets to the convention? It's like, okay, this is good. And they're like,
I can't wait for the costume competition.
Yeah, which character from ElfQuest are you going as?
Can I finish? I can't wait for the costume competition to make fun of it.
Yes.
And immediately I was like, wait, what?
And then they do a fat phobic sequence of not clever making fun of fat cosplayers.
Yeah, I remember feared bounty hunter Boba Fett.
Oh, he was no match for Fat Vader.
Yeah, what about the captivating antics of R2 Fatso?
So, yeah, they basically are like, oh yeah, it's an alternate universe where all your favorite sci-fi characters are fat.
Yeah.
And then they cut to a Comic-Con.
Yeah, which made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah. And they're like, oh yeah, Boba Fett's gonna be there. Which is like the fat joke. Like, Boba Fett is a joke that I made when I was in like sixth grade.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh yeah, and Princess Fatla and
Chubb Kenobi.
I was like,
they're not even good puns.
These aren't even good puns. And at this point, I'm confused at what the show even is.
Yeah.
Because Laura and I, like, we're watching this on YouTube. It wasn't the best quality.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure if this was filmed for the show or if this was real footage from a Comic-Con. And what the show was going to be was like an America's Funniest Home Video cutaway show.
Okay, I didn't think it was going to be that, but I was very uncomfortable because I wasn't sure if this was just like stock footage B-roll.
Well,
that was my fear.
I knew nothing about this going in. I was like, is it just going to be these two guys talking about nerd stuff with nerd clips over it? Because what a easy low-budget show that would be.
Yeah, I didn't even think... That idea didn't even occur to me. I genuinely thought it was going in more the direction of, like, this had been stock footage.
Yeah. Now, I will say there's a moment where one of the fat Vaders eats donuts off of a lightsaber, which seems too constructed to be something that actually happened at a Comic-Con. So I do believe this is filmed footage. However, if you go to IMDb, no one in that clip is credited.
Very few people in the show are. Just the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Just
the cast with speaking lines.
Yeah. And not every single member of the cast, because I think there's like two people we see that are not credited. The child?
The child is not.
And all of the young characters. Like, none of the children.
Yeah, the children talk. That's right.
Yeah. That we do see a couple of flashbacks with kids.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me getting upset already?
So, yeah. All of the pieces between shots are time lapse. Like,
yes.
And it's very jarring and it's not very well done.
Well, there's like a time lapse moment, which I think is supposed to be like the intro, where it said, yeah, like, here's Brian Boussain, here's Patton Oswalt. And during this, the crowd applauds.
Yeah.
To like, yeah, Brian Boussain's here. To remind us that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
To thus make it feel really awkward when they don't laugh at the show.
Well, the show's not funny, so.
Yeah. If you're listening to this on YouTube right now and you've gotten to this point, I want you to pause this video. If you're listening to this to the podcast, I think you can also make a comment on like Podbean, and I think you can do this on like Spotify. I want you to make a prediction based on what we've told you, what the main plot of this show is going to be. Because you can probably guess. We got two nerdy guys talking about stuff. What's going to now happen to upset the status quo of this show? Go ahead and pause. Write it. We'll be here when you get back. And right, welcome back.
We then get the sequence where Patton Oswalt's character, Leslie, is on the phone talking about how he wants to buy both of something. It has to be both.
Oh, I forgot this happened.
He wants to buy both of something. And it's clearly like a set of something, but we do not yet know what.
Mm-hmm.
And then a beautiful blonde woman wearing pink comes into the store.
Yeah, that's right. A woman shows up. And she's attractive.
Yeah.
And they're like sheepish to be around an attractive woman. And basically Leslie, the Patton Oswalt character, can't even talk.
Yeah.
But Brian Poussin's character, Gale, is going to make an attempt. And the lines we get are...
Do you guys have Pokemon? My son loves that.
there's this then moment where like, oh, she said Pokemon instead of Pokemon. I don't like her anymore. And then she picks up a toy and goes, this is the fan from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
And Gail replies, it's called the Mystery Machine? Guys, I want you to picture the van from Scooby-Doo in your mind. What does it look like?
Are you asking me to respond?
Yeah.
It's green, blue, and orange and says the Mystery Machine in real big letters on the sides.
Why would you need to explain that to her? She's holding it. Like, to me, if the joke is this guy can't, like, not correct someone when it comes to nerdy stuff, why wouldn't you pick something, one, nerdier than Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
And two, something that didn't have the answer written on the side of it.
Also, like, it's very peculiar because it's just, she's just kind of picking it up and going, huh. Like, it's not like she's making fun of it. It's, she just kind of picks it up and observes it. It's very weird.
They then successfully just kind of scare her out of the store.
Very.
Because Gail's character, or Brian Posehn's character, Gail, kind of like moves too fast to being in love. It was just like, are you divorced or widowed?
Yeah. Never considers that she might actually still be with that person.
And then the two of them kind of, like, make fun of each other for being awkward.
Yes.
But they are both unsuccessful in making jokes.
Yeah, one of them's just like, oh, I'm you. Well, I can't talk to girls. Oh, I'm you. Are you divorced?
Yeah, like, it was almost a recap of what happened. There was no, like, bits in it.
Are you divorced or widowed? And if so, can I be your new husband?
Yeah, well, here's you. Pretty lady, can't talk, must not soil pit.
And then we get like a flashback of them being bullied.
Yes.
And it's just them as kids, like being shoved while having a like nerdy debate.
Yes. And like, whether it's Daredevil versus somebody else. Like, that was the thing I thought was odd, was that it was Daredevil.
It was Daredevil and maybe Hawkeye?
Yeah, maybe?
I forget who it was.
I remember it was an odd choice of character.
Yeah, I think they were trying to go for a deep cut. To kind of be like, look how nerdy they are. But, like, you're not making any jokes, you're just making references.
Yeah. Because, like, at this point in time, Daredevil with Ben Affleck has not come out.
Yeah, it's a weird pull.
So it is intentionally an esoteric reference.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most mainstream we got of Daredevil at this point is he appeared in the Incredible Hulk TV show with Lou Ferrigno. And I believe he showed up in Fox Spider-Man cartoon. I feel nerdy saying that. Anyway, we then get like the owner of the store who comes in, who is like a Russian Biff from Back to the Future.
Yeah, he shows up to take a crap in their bathroom because he owns the store. He owns the store, but I couldn't figure out if he was the land. At this point, it later comes out he owns the store.
Yeah.
I thought he was the landlord at first.
Yeah, I get how that's confusing. Because he owns all the stores in the strip. And he's just, like, letting this be here. But, like, he doesn't really care about nerdy stuff. But he's definitely the owner, not the landlord, because he makes business decisions there.
Yeah.
It's very odd. This was written by someone who doesn't know how jobs work.
Yeah.
Then what do you know? Another woman arrives and they're like, oh my God.
And unlike the previous woman, this girl is wearing black and has dark hair.
Yes.
To juxtapose her from the pink-shirted blonde woman who called them Pokemans.
Yes.
Because everyone knows if you're blonde and you wear pink, you don't know anything about nerd stuff.
Don't know anything about nerd stuff. It's impossible. And this girl is Sarah Silverman.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay, Sarah Silverman's in this. This could be good. They are then so busy staring at Sarah Silverman, because not only is she a girl, but she's, like, going through the comics.
And with a sense of, like, she's going through the comics in a way that makes it clear she knows what she's looking for.
Yeah. And while they're infatuated with her, a child comes up to the counter and starts asking questions. And Patton Oswalt just goes, no. No, to everything. Just not paying attention.
Hi, do you have the comic
book?
No. I'm just looking
for...
No. This store sucks my farts.
No.
During this exchange, the audience makes a noise that I would not describe as laughter. Like, this is clearly supposed to be a funny bit.
Yeah.
Like, he's so distracted by a woman that he's ignoring this child asking simple questions. But the audience, for the pilot, does not know how to properly react. And they keep the audio in. What are they doing? Like, it would have been so easy to just remove the audio, add better canned laughter during this part.
Yes.
Like, there's so many things you can fix it, then include whatever this is.
And she comes up to them and she goes, hi, Leslie. Hi, Gail.
Yeah, and they're blown away that this woman knows their names.
And she discusses that she also has the four-issue rule.
Yes.
And they look at her and she goes, Gwen, enough said. And then we get back to a flashback.
Yes.
And it's a child who we realize is Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, someone has petitioned to join the Dungeons and Dragons Club. All in favor say Excelsior. And no one does except him.
Yes.
And you almost don't think he says it because he cares. You almost think he says it, like, because he does feel bad that everyone's ostracizing this person. Mm-hmm. And then he says, all opposed say, "Nuff said." And all the boys go, "Nuff said."
Yeah.
And he says, like, you'll have to excuse them. It's the only chance they're going to ever have to exclude anyone.
Yes. So I have so many things to say about this. One, the idea that nerds are looking for the opportunity to exclude someone because they're always excluded annoys me. Two, I don't get the "Nuff said" reference.
You don't?
Do you?
Stan Lee. Nuff said.
Okay, I knew Excelsior was Stan
Lee. They're both Stan Lee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Stan Lee would end things with "Nuff said."
Oh. But you have blonde hair and are wearing pink.
Yeah, fight me! Literally, this is a Marvel.com article from December 2022. From Excelsior to "Nuff said," here are a handful of the lofty legend's captivating catchphrases. "Nuff said" is just a big, and Stan Lee would use it at the end of his editorials.
Huh.
I just confirmed with research, but I confirmed a thing I knew, even though I'm blonde, even though I wear pink.
Interesting. The last thing I want to say is, if we're trying to build on this story that these two were super ostracized, super bullied, and only had each other...
Where are all these other guys?
Where are all these other kids? There's like 15 kids in the D&D club.
Yeah.
That's more than Stranger Things has.
Yeah, I mean, Stranger Things starts off with the four boys and then kind of slowly grandfathers other people in. And then you have the Hellfire Club. And then,
yeah.
But the Hellfire Club tries to limit girls being in it.
Yeah.
And then Erica is like, nah.
It's just... little things like that super bother me.
Oh, as someone who was a budding female nerd in the 2000s, I was viscerally irritated by that. Like, this is one of those shows that had I not been watching it for Stay Doomed, I would absolutely not have made it through.
Yeah. Because There's a real gross joke we need to mention, just because it's horrible and shouldn't be in there.
Mm-hmm.
When Gwen knows their name, Gail goes,
"You guys don't recognize me, do you?
You're not a former gentleman, are you?"
Yeah, implying that the only way a woman would know his name is if she used to be male.
A male. That's awful. The second thing I want to say is Sarah Silverman is too good for this.
Yeah.
Because
everyone involved is too good for this. But
her performance in this is actually really good. Like, she's quirky and nerdy and, like, shy. And, like, she, like, awkwardly scratches her arms at times. Like, she's putting in the work to give this character dimension.
Yeah, like, she's one of those, like, she grew up awkward and nerdy, and then she just happened to grow up hot.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the way they style her character is very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
She's in jeans and a sweater. She's not super overdressed.
Yeah.
We pretty much only see her in, like, jeans and a sweater through the entire show.
Yeah.
And she's not, like, heavily... She looks like the character they are trying to portray. Because I don't want to say, like, oh, she's, like, dressed casually and she's not wearing a lot of makeup. That's what female nerds look like. Mm-hmm. That's what this character would look like. And so then we get this thing of she leaves saying, like, well, I live around here again, so I'll be back.
Yeah.
Implying that these two guys are also still living in the town they grew up in.
Yes. I mean... They're loser nerds, of course they are. And then we get this weird moment where, like, Leslie's just kind of staring off into space. And Gail is jealous.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny.
Despite the fact that, like, neither of them had, like, a very successful interaction with Gail.
No.
With Gwen. for some reason, Gail is jealous of Leslie's interaction and is just, like, thinking about that and stewing. And then we hear Leslie's thought, which is,
oh, it's finally gonna happen to me. Once I get those Resident Evil cheat codes, it's hello level 4.
Once I get the Resident Evil cheat codes, then I'm on to level 4.
Yeah.
This is such a disingenuous joke.
Do levels have numbers? By the time you get to...
No, of course not. Like, that is such a dated view of video games. Like, it's very clear that whoever wrote this was like, what do I know about video games? It's based off of NES knowledge. Despite the fact that we're now on the PlayStation, because this came out in 2000. So we're on the PlayStation 2.
I think.
Yeah. We're probably dancing towards the PlayStation 2. I think PlayStation 2 was...
We're in PlayStation 2.
Barely. Yeah.
PlayStation 2... We are, admittedly, probably... The PlayStation 2 has been announced.
Mm-hmm.
And may even have its release date announced.
Yeah.
But the PlayStation comes out on the 26th of October.
Okay.
In the year 2000. So, this was probably produced with the knowledge of a PlayStation 2.
Yeah. But, like, to speak so ignorantly about nerd stuff in the nerd show, like, the fact that you could just change, like, a few things. Like, once I get the cheat code for Resident Evil, I'll finally get past Mr. X. That's Resident Evil 2, but excuse me. Or, like, I'll get past the crocodile. Like, just reference something from the game rather than make the wrong assumption that there are levels.
Yeah, or even just, like, use something like Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, use...
Which does have levels. Yeah, like...
Because...
And is probably... Crash Bandicoot, especially at that time, was Sony's Mario. Mm-hmm. So you could kind of think that maybe your audience knew... knew who Crash Bandicoot was, or maybe Spyro... But you can't... Like, they do mention Lara Croft at one point. Oh, because that's something they say about the first woman?
They say something like she's
Pamela Lee Hot. She's Rebecca Romijn hot. She's Pamela Lee, Rebecca Romijn, and Lara Croft all making out with each other hot.
Yeah. So the fact that they just miss this mark so clearly shows a lack of care for this show. And that's when I write in all capital letters, who wrote this? And the answer is, we don't know.
No.
There are no credits at the end of this. And it doesn't say it on IMDb who wrote this.
No, nobody wants to own this.
So then we get to the bookend scene.
So we get Crimson Beard comes in. I don't know if we actually catch his real name, but that's his D&D character.
Yes.
And he's chummy with Leslie because Leslie is their dungeon master.
Mm-hmm.
And he's selling ceramic Kirk and Picard bookends.
Yes.
And then Gale and Leslie start fighting over the bookends.
Yeah, so it becomes an auction.
Yes.
I've been in this exact situation.
Really?
Yes. I was in college. No, I was visiting my college after having graduated. And there was someone that was making like duct tape crafts.
Yes.
And they made a duct tape TIE fighter.
Yeah.
And I was like, this will be a great gift for Lara.
Yes.
And I walked up and I was like, hey, the TIE fighter's cool. How much? And the guy went $5. And I looked at my wallet and I went, I only have $3. Is that cool? And he was like, And the guy I went with, I'll get it for $5, and bought it out from under me. And I went, really? And he was like, it was a Star Wars thing. You got to work like this. And I was like, all right. I eventually got it from him and gave it to Lara.
I do. And I still have it.
Yeah.
I can tell you exactly where it is.
So this is accurate to like nerds, I guess. But at this point, nobody's likable. Like, there's not... We don't want Leslie to get these. But to be honest, we don't want Gale to get them.
Gale is more unlikable than Leslie. Because of informed attributes. Of, yes. Like, Leslie was nice to a girl once.
Yes.
Gale is always pretty crappy.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have that. And then Leslie wins the first bookend. But at this point, Gale knows Leslie doesn't have enough money for the second bookend.
Yes. Because then, character decided to sell them separately to try to make more money.
And then the landlord comes in and buys the second one because he looked up how much they were worth.
Yeah.
And he's like, I could sell these at a tidy profit, so I'll buy both. Or I'll buy the second one.
Yeah. So he buys the second one out from under both of them.
And at this point, you're not even mad.
Yeah. Because then they do, like, try to join forces and, like, combine their funds to beat the landlord. Mm-hmm. But the landlord has more money. He buys the... He gets Kirk, right?
I believe so.
He gets Kirk. And Leslie says to him, you don't understand. There's some things more important than money. Basically saying, like, this is important to me on a bigger level than just finance, which is a very nerd thing. And he responds with, nothing is more valuable than money except for heroin, which is a joke that doesn't even make sense.
No.
So he tells Leslie, you sell it for like $300, no friend discounts. And this leads to an argument between Leslie and Gale where they're talking about their hearts being broken.
Yeah.
And Gale gets so upset, he smashes the Kirk bookend by accident. And then they just leave the rubble there.
Yeah, because Gale has like a child tantrum.
Yeah.
Because the girl likes Leslie more. Leslie has a bookend.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and who does that has those things? Not me.
Yeah.
And then Leslie just looks at him and goes, and who's going to pay for that? Not me.
So he smashes it. And then it's the next day. And there's just the rubble of it still on the counter where people would buy things.
Yeah.
And we get almost a joke. This is probably the best joke in the whole series. So get excited.
What?
I was just thinking, if this was some turdy sitcom, I would have been up all last night trying to glue that back together.
And it's like a little bit of meta humor.
Yeah.
That's it. That was the high point.
Little bit. Not a lot. Little bit. So, Gwen comes back, and she essentially just asks Leslie out. Like, yeah. Asks him to go to the comic book convention with her. And Leslie has a dealer's room pass. He said, they mentioned early, they have a dealer's pass.
Yeah.
Which means, the truth is, he can't.
Yeah, he's working.
Yeah. That doesn't come up. And then she's talking about how she's going to do the costume competition.
Yes.
And you do point this out off mic of, they always say costume competition.
Yeah.
Because the term cosplay is not in wide use yet, and also would not have been used here.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, I think cosplay was kind of, I don't want to say like, it was an insider term.
Yeah.
But I think it was used in that community before it became widely known outside of convention goers themselves.
Yeah, it wasn't part of like the vernacular.
Yeah. I mean, it becomes, I think people know what cosplay is now.
Yeah.
But like outside of our sphere. But she pitches a bunch of costumes. She does Batman and Catwoman.
Yes.
Which is what we dressed as for our first Halloween.
Yes. And Gail's response is, yeah, but Catwoman's a villain.
But she's a canon love interest of Batman.
Yeah, first off, nuh-uh. Like, they are often together.
And, like, she's not really so much of the villain. She's essentially, to use a wrestling term, a tweener.
Yeah.
Like, her motivations heavily depend on writer and storyline.
Exactly. And on top of that, what situation are you in where you're like, well, if you dress as Batman and she dresses as Catwoman, you guys can't hang out at the convention?
Yeah, I mean, it's very common for people to dress as various people in the same group.
That argument is very dumb. She then retorts with, well, maybe you can be Green Lantern and I can be Scarlet Witch. And Gail says, that's Marvel and DC, which is true, which I think hurts the character of Gwen.
Yeah, it makes...
Because why would she suggest that?
Why would that be her, like, second or third pitch?
Yeah, because it's silly to me to be like, this character knows who Green Lantern and the Scarlet Witch are in 2000, before... Like,
for the MCU is a twinkle in Kevin Feige's eyes.
Yeah, and Scarlet Witch wasn't in any of the, like, X-Men movies.
At that point.
So, like, the fact that she knows both these characters and would suggest them as, like, a couple's costume. And, like, it also, in my opinion, as a nerd, hurts the credibility of the show. Because if she was a cosplayer, she would know the work that it takes to make this costume.
Yeah, and this is also, like, pre-easy online shopping.
Yeah.
So, I know from my costume experiences, I know there was a hard difference between when Amazon Prime became a thing and before that, when you were cobbling things together from what you could find at regular box stores, Halloween stores. If you lived near a good costume store that was open year-round, you were one of the fortunate ones.
Yes.
Like, there used to be a costume store about half an hour from where I lived, and I was forever, like, begging my mom.
Love that place.
I was forever begging my mom, like, can I go in the costume store? Mm-hmm. And she was like, it is March.
Yeah, I think about it every time I drive by it, because it's not area. There anymore, but every time I think about it. But what they've done at this point now is they did something where Gale is objectively wrong with his criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And Gwen is objectively wrong with her suggestion. Which means they're both not really nerds.
Uh-oh.
So it's very clear that what this show is grab some nerdy terms, throw them in a blender, and then spout them back out because nerds will like this. This is a worse version of the Big Bang Theory.
It absolutely is a worse version of the Big Bang Theory. Big Bang Theory, I also honestly hate for similar reasons of inability to write female characters.
Mm-hmm.
But this, it also is just terrible because I Gail is now at this moment, I can never like this character because I've been Gwen.
Yeah.
I've been the girl in the comic book store getting yelled at.
Yeah.
For something I missaid. I've been the girl in the line at the movie theater who was objectively correct.
Yeah.
Getting talked down to by a man because...
Do you want to give the detail of that story?
Gentle listeners. The year, picture it. Philadelphia, 2019. Golden Girls reference.
Okay.
It was Avengers Endgame, and I had sprung for tickets for, like, the super fan event.
Yeah.
Not the one where you watched every movie in a row, because I have a, like, I didn't have the PTO for that.
Yeah.
Because I have a job, and I was like, I did leave work early for Avengers Endgame, and was treated like it was a religious holiday.
Yeah.
By my friends at work. But we paid extra for these, like, fan tickets to a 5 p.m. Thursday screening. And we're in line to get popcorn. And I am wearing a Her Universe vegan leather Captain Marvel jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy behind me in line starts going in at me about why did I wear a Wonder Woman jacket to Endgame. Gentle listener, this doesn't go well for anybody.
No.
He argues with me about my own clothing for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I have the zipper pull, which is the
star. Yeah.
And I was like, it says Marvel on the tag.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking off my jacket to show this guy something because I was like, I'm not disrobing for you. The funny pied de resistance of that is I start to hear a very familiar laugh, like several people behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And a close school friend is watching me about to fight somebody in a movie theater popcorn line. I'm getting a little louder because I feel very harassed.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy backs down because he's now like, oh, I'm the guy harassing a woman.
Yeah.
At the movie theater about her clothing.
To this day, I am not sure if he actually thought it was a Wonder Woman shirt or Wonder Woman jacket, or if he was like, I'm gonna, you know, get this girl's goat and call it a Wonder Woman coat. And because I'm a big guy, she'll just, like, laugh. And when you came at him, he was like, this is not how it's supposed to go.
Well, what's great is he was a big guy, but, like, you and my old school friend are also quite tall.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things of, like, I also have big guys around me.
Because he tried to apologize and give you popcorn.
Like,
and you kept being like, I don't want stuff from you.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to accept something I would ingest from you.
Yeah, I don't trust you.
What? But yeah, so like, here's some of my trauma for as a treat. Of why, by this point, I hate this show.
Yes.
Because at this point... Because I've also been, like, talked down to a concert. That's the one that sticks out most.
Mm-hmm.
And also, surprisingly, has the least obscenity use from me. Because
mm-hmm.
I've definitely told off people at conventions for how they have treated other women and me.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just thinking about... Because I remember wearing a costume and being treated more respectfully... Walking down the street in Philadelphia in a costume than I was in the convention center
mm-hmm.
by other congoers.
Yeah.
Because there was just a man outside going, it's Power Girl.
It's Power Girl.
And we were several blocks away. Mm-hmm. He was just a man who was excited to see Power Girl
on the street.
And like, I love that for him.
Yeah.
But he was very respectful. And I always remember him because he was bless his heart, so bewildered. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, getting back to the end of this show, we end up with the way that Gale is going to pay for the fact that he destroyed this bookend is he's going to pay $50 and never come back.
Yes.
And he accepts the deal. And then another day goes by. That's important.
Yeah.
Because everything that happened before was on Monday, but the new comics come out on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So Gwen comes back again for the new comics.
Yeah.
Which means 2 days has gone by, and the rubble of the bookend is still just there. All over the store. So, for some reason, I forget what it was, Leslie had to go talk to the owner about something.
Leslie has to go in the back to get something off the truck or something.
Yeah.
So he's disposed of in some way.
So now Gail's watching the store, and it's important to notice Gail does not work there. Gail is just around.
Yes.
And then in comes Gwen again, looking for Leslie. And when Leslie's not there, Gwen just kind of turns his back and then eventually goes, "Do you think Leslie would go out with me if I asked?"
Yeah.
And Gale says no. And then explains that he likes Gwen.
Yeah. And Gwen very politely but directly says, "I'm sorry, I don't like you that way."
Well, first she says, "All you do is yell at me."
Yes.
And he responds, "That's because I like you." And Gwen's like, "Well, I don't feel that way about you."
Yeah.
And then Gail's like, "Well, Leslie doesn't feel that way about you." Which is an objective lie to screw over his best friend.
Yeah. It is.
So what do you think happens next, listener? Did you guess that we cut to another planet? Because then we get this weird thing where it's like an episode of Babylon 5. And it's just like this cheap, now Sarah Silverman's an alien. And it's the same scene, but done with this sci-fi twist.
Yeah.
Where Gwen's like, "I feel something for Captain Leslie."
Yeah.
And Gale lies, is like, "Captain Leslie could never love you. You're an alien."
Right.
The only thing that I, laughed at was the fact that Sarah Silverman's character in this moment is called Divided by Five.
Yeah.
Which is a reference to Seven of Nine. But other than that, it's the same scene again to reinforce, which they kind of need it to do, that Leslie's best friend Gale is totally screwing him over because he likes a girl that he knows he has no chance with.
Yes.
And if he doesn't have a chance, Leslie shouldn't get her either.
And I also feel like there's this element of, if he doesn't have a chance, there's this insecure, childish, just because I can't have you, he can't have you. But also, I don't want him to get a girlfriend because then he has someone else to spend time with.
Mm.
Because that's a very common trope in this kind of media.
Yeah.
That centers around male nerds that takes place before.
Oh, he's got a girlfriend. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we saw this in Freaks and Geeks at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Of just that, it's not even so much jealousy that one character has a girlfriend. It's jealousy that one character is someone else to spend time with. I've seen this played with just a new male friend. Of like, oh, he just has a new friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it, by this point, Gale has done nothing redemptive. At all.
Yeah.
Gale has been banned from the store.
Yes. But he hasn't left yet? That's his loophole?
Yes.
Because he can't set foot back into the store. And he'd have to leave first. Ugh.
Ugh.
And it's just, it's so frustrating. And, like, I need to also ask this question. Why does Gwen even like Leslie? Anytime she's around, Leslie is too nervous to speak. And yes, Leslie stood up for Gwen when they were in middle school.
Yeah.
But a lot of time has passed since then.
Yeah, at least a decade, one would think.
Yeah, like, the idea of being like, I live back here again, which, like, how old are these guys are supposed to... These characters are what, in their 30s, in their late 20s?
I was saying, like, early 20s, but I might be... I guess a good guess would be about 30.
Yeah.
Because Patton Oswalt would have been about 30 when he made it.
But could you imagine being 30 and having your thought process be, you know who I could get back with? My fourth grade crush!
Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago?
Yeah, they would all be about 30. Because they're all actually very close to the same age.
So... let me tell you about the end of this show. The end of the show. This is a decent joke. Gail says to Leslie, do you want to shoot hoops later? And Leslie replies, sure, bring the Dreamcast to my house. They're nerds. When they say shooting hoops, they mean a video game. Ha ha. Then
I don't hate that.
They read a comic book and like a weird song plays... which is just, like, the names of random superheroes?
Yeah, it's not even like we didn't start. It's in alphabetical order.
Oh, was it?
Because there's a point where I'm listening to it and I hear Black Cat, Black Panther, Black Widow. And I'm like, they're not even...
they're just naming stuff.
Yes. It's not even like we didn't start the fire where there's this, like...
meaning?
I was going to say, like, an arrangement.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then the show ends. No credits. It just says that it was created by
Comedy Central,
or a product of Comedy Central, and then it's over. What fresh garbage this was.
This was bad.
Like, it felt like the biggest sin to this whole thing to me is I know that, like, television execs are like, you know who spend a lot of their income on crap? Nerds. If we could do something to appeal to nerds, that would help our company.
Yeah.
Brian Posehn is actually a nerd.
Yeah.
Patton Oswalt is actually a nerd. The fact that they read this script and were like, this is great, is insanity to me. Like, these are two people who should know better. They should see this and be like, you are talking down to the audience you are attempting to get with this.
Yeah.
Like, the first thing they do is make fun of nerds for being overweight.
Yeah, and like, that is such a weird joke to me because it's not like they're, any of them are like the Jim Parsons super slim nerd. Like, it's so awkward to me because I'm like, you're not. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to put it delicately, but you're not that slim.
Yeah. Like, it's... who is this for? Like, in actuality, the show is for jocks.
Yeah.
The show is for, like, sports people who bully nerds to feel justified in their actions.
Yeah, it's unpleasant in every possible way.
Yeah. So, So stay doomed from me.
Oh, hard stay doomed.
Did you have anything you wanted to add to this?
I hate this show.
All right. I have a small thing.
Okay.
I do want to bring up. As we were watching this, it reminded me of a show that I had a fleeting memory of. It was a show on Adult Swim called Welcome to Eltingtonville, I think it's called. I don't know how to exactly pronounce it. But it's a cartoon about... nerds hanging out in a comic book shop. And I was like, wait a minute. There's another show that's this. And it ran one episode. So, I feel like it might be a good idea to do this one immediately afterwards so we can compare and contrast.
Yeah, I was also thinking of a similar show that ran 7 episodes that was more like Philadelphia local.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a show called Issues that also takes place in a comic book store in like 2009.
Hmm.
That was filmed in a comic book store just outside Trenton.
Interesting. So maybe we do a couple episodes of this and just kind of be like, can we find Clerks in a comic book store that's good?
Yeah.
All right. Join us next week, or next time that we do one of these. It's going to be Welcome to Eltingville. I say next time just because it's WrestleMania week.
Sure is.
When this goes up, we will be working a wrestling show. And that will continue throughout the week. So I don't know what the next episode will be. It may be like a WrestleMania special. We may get this done. We may not. So I'm going to make you no promises.
Yeah.
And just let you know that that's what's going on. But hopefully after WrestleMania, we can return to some semblance of normalcy.
Yes.
Laura, where can people find us?
You can email us at thestaydoomedshow@gmail.com or on Facebook and Twitter at Stay Doomed.
And if you want to help keep the lights on here at Stay Doomed headquarters, you can head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/plus2comedy. And if you want to talk to me about your favorite show set in a comic book store, I'm at plus2comedy on Twitter.
If you absolutely hate when people talk down to you about nerd stuff when you're, you know, in a comic book store or what have you, I'm at Priorities. Until next time, stay doomed.